just as we were wrapping up this programme to get it ready for air, we had to rewrite it and update it again. That's how fast things seem to be moving in the world of science and technology for Iran. A few of the latest developments: two domestically designed and manufactured supercomputers and a smart hydrogen car. At the unveiling, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad pointed out that Iran has become one of only 10 countries in the world that design and manufacture supercomputers. And let's not forget, these ones are all homegrown. Supercomputers are at the front line of current processing capacity, used in anything from quantum physics to weather forecasting, molecular modelling to nuclear research. Meanwhile, the smart hydrogen car is completely manufactured by Iranian researchers and is the first of its kind in the Middle East. Unveiling that, Ahmadinejad encouraged Iranian scientists and researchers to develop ever more self-belief, saying Iran must become a scientific and technological reference for the world. And that's really at the heart of Iran's science: self-belief, independence and endless possibilities. There's been a real drive in the country to progress as fast as possible and to aim for the very top. Iran might not be there yet, but it wants to be at the forefront of the science world. And it has been making strides, despite being just 32 years into a revolution, despite political pressure such as sanctions that target technology, and despite allegations of what's been called the brain drain. These strides have led to Iran to compete with the technological elite. The facts speak for themselves. In 2010, Iran produced 1% of the world's scientific studies, a figure it's very proud of. All the development was made under sanctions, sanctions that have hurt, but at the same time led Iran to localize science, making it a producer rather than a purchaser of technology. On top of that, Iran's scientific progress is reported to be the fastest in the world. In 2010, two studies by America and Canada put Iran first. Science Metrics, a Montreal-based company dedicated to the evaluation and measurement of science, technology and innovation, released its most recent report. It found that scientific advancements in Iran have grown 11 times faster than any other country in the world. Even the US government has had to admit this. A report by the National Science Foundation says Iran has the world's highest growth rate. Its article output alone has annual growth of 25.7%. This program will be looking at this rapid growth and what it means for the country and beyond. It's impossible to talk about all of Iran's scientific progress in just one show, but we can look at some of the specific areas at the forefront of its technological advancement. Laser technology, cloning, medicine, aerospace, nanotechnology, and nuclear technology. Iran produces a wide range of lasers for the country's medical and industrial fields. Just two examples are focus laser, a source of intense radiation used to fragment kidney stones, and optic fiber laser, commonly used in medicine and industries like welding. Also, laser radiation can effectively be used for treating eye and skin problems, as well as cancer. Iran started localizing its laser technology about 3 years ago and has managed to take considerable steps in that time. To that end, in 2010, Tehran held its first laser science and technology exhibition, showcasing the latest advances by Iranian scientists, totally designed and totally manufactured inside the country. At the inaugural ceremony, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad announced that the country possessed laser uranium enrichment technology.
از یه توانمندی دیگری هم داره که من اینجا اشاره میکنم، اونم تو غنی‌سازی اورانیوم هست. وقتی با لیزر میشه مخلوط‌ها رو از هم جدا کرد، میشه از هم تفکیک کرد، یکی از اینا هم تفکیک اورانیوم نمیدونم 235 و 237 و 238 و 239 است. یکی از کار رو داشت بسازه. و با همت شما این الان ما داریم همجد سالو با همین هم میشه قنیسازی کرد.
Although Iran currently uses the existing system of centrifuges, Ahmadinejad said the laser technology gives Iran the capacity to carry out enrichment at a higher quality, accuracy and speed. Of course, though, the announcement proved controversial as the US and its allies accuse Iran of using such technology to build a bomb, a claim Iran denies. Iran has become one of the few countries that have the technology and the means to clone farm animals, which could help produce human antibodies against disease. In January 2010, Iran became the first Middle Eastern country to produce transgenic animals. And in 2011, the progress continues. February saw Iran clone two female calves from freezing embryos in the laboratory. It was a first for the Middle East. Clinical sciences are highly developed in Iran, and Iranian medical scientists are among the world's leaders. There's been many medical advancements in the country, although Iran has often faced an uphill battle to gain homegrown technology and medical advancements in the face of sanctions and a lack of cooperation that it says only hurts Iranian people. Looking at just two of these advancements provides a snippet into the world of Iranian medicine. Radioisotopes have important uses in medical diagnosis, treatment and research. Iran has been producing and manufacturing them for many years. The latest two were announced when world countries toured Iran's nuclear facilities on January the 16th, 2011. Iran's Atomic Energy Organization announced that Iranian scientists have successfully produced lutetium-177 and iodine-131, both used for treating cancer. The spokesman said that only a handful of countries in the world can currently produce and use such products. In March 2008, the UN sanctioned radioisotopes to Iran, saying they may also be used for military purposes. Iran, though, says it needs them for treating patients only. And it's a similar case with the stalled talks over Tehran's research reactor, used for treating cancer patients. Whereas radioisotopes sound very technical and it may be hard to see the difference they make in someone's ordinary life, other advancements in the country have literally changed lives. For example, this nerve prosthetic leg that has given the disabled the chance to walk again. We went to the Center for Neurological Research to speak with its head, Abbas Erfanian, to explain more.
کاری که کردیم طراحی و ساخت یک پروتز عصبی حرکتی است که این پروتز عصبی امکان گام برداشتن، ایستادن و نشستن رو برای بعضی از افراد دچار زاینخواهی فراهم می‌کنه.
The technology is a world's first and is already being used to change the lives of Iranians who are wheelchair bound and haven't been able to walk.
تا کنون ما این سیستم عصبی که ساختیم و در نهایت خودش منحصر به فرد در دنیا هست بر روی چه تعدادی بیمار زاینخواهی به کار گرفتیم. این افراد در حال حاضر قادر شدند بایستند و گام بردارند.
Dr. Erfanian showed us the para-walk, as it's called, in action. One of his patients helped in the demo as well.
همینطور که توضیح داده شد، این پروتز عصبی در حقیقت شبیه‌سازی می‌کنه دستورات قشر حرکتی مغز رو و با ارسال دستورات حرکتی به اعصاب عضلات فلج باعث انقباض و کنترل حرکت میشه. از ایشون میخوام که الان با این سیستم بیستن و گام بردارن. در ضمن کلیدی بر روی واکل قرار داده شده که بیمار میتونه با خواسته خودش رو از طریق این کلیدها به دستگاه انتقال بده. خب آماده هستید؟ بفرم. صاف بیسید. صاف صاف. صورت بالا بگیرید. خب الان میبینید که ایستاده از شخص از واکر برای حفظ تعادل خود استفاده میکنه ولیکن وزن شخص بر روی پاهاش قرار داره و انقباض عضلات با انقباض عضلات شخص ایستاده. حالا آقای مهیار سعید شما شروع کنید به گام برداشتن. می‌بینید که عمل سوینگ رو به خوبی این شخص پاراپلیجیک کامل که از دو پا فلج کامله میتونه با سیستم عمل سوینگ رو به خوبی انجام بده. پاها رو برداره و خب آیا چه بیس دو چرخه بیاریم. خب الان میتونه بشینه.
Of course, it's enlightening to put Iran's medical advancements in a historical context, not only to better understand the ancient history of medicine in Iran, but also to understand the aspirations of Iranians in the field. Persia was a cradle of science. It was Persian scientists that invented the wind power machine and first distilled medicinal alcohol. Probably one of the most well-known Iranian scientists is Ibn Sina. He wrote almost 450 treatises. His most famous works are the Book of Healing, a vast philosophical and scientific encyclopedia, and, of course, the Canon of Medicine, the standard medical text for at least six centuries. He believed in simple solutions for complex theory, solutions that stay true to cultural and religious roots. It's in this foundation you can understand Iran's thinking on medicine today. It's a foundation that was evident at this conference. The role of high technology on human prosperity. Held on the 19th of February 2011 in the island of Kish, President Ahmadinejad talked at the event about how the path to scientific growth should be a culturally and scientifically Iranian path.
تا زمانی که دیگران قله رو تعریف می‌کنند، مسیر رو هم تعریف می‌کنند، ما شبانه روز هم کار کنیم، 100 سال، 200 سال، همیشه عقبیم. من فکر میکنم وقت اون رسیده که دانشمندان ایرانی هم قله رو تعریف کنند هم مسیر رو تعریف کنند.
This Iranian model of progress is something being actively discussed by Iranian academics and scientists inside and outside the country. Many agree that an Iranian way forward is exactly what the country needs.
Iran has to create its own model of advancement. Something which is tailored completely to the culture, to the religious foundations, to the societal fabric, to the political situation, and etc.
Despite the fact that some of science's forefathers were extremely religious, and today some of the best academics are actually people of faith, still science and religion have often been touted as mutually exclusive. So in a country like Iran, which labels itself as Islamic, how do these two ideas merge? Well, on the 1st of December 2010, the leader of Iran's revolution merged the ideas of an Islamic Iranian scientific agenda as having endless possibilities. He launched the Iranian Islamic model of progress.
ما بایستی این الگو رو جوری تنظیم کنیم که نتیجه اون این باشد که جامعه ایرانی ما به سمت معنویت بیشتر پیش بره. و البته این در جای خود برای ما روشنه، شاید برای خیلی از حضار محترم هم روشنه و باید البته برای همه روشن بشه که معنویت نه با علم، نه با سیاست، نه با عرصه‌هایی که عرصه‌های دیگر، نه با آزادی هیچ منافاتی نداره. معنویت روح همه این هاست. میتوان قله‌های علم رو صاحب شد و فتح کرد با معنویت.
Many of the announcements in the science and technological field in Iran are made in the 10 days running up to the anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, otherwise known as Dahe Fajr. This year, the country's aerospace industry unveiled four new satellites and a rocket. The Amir-Kabir satellite, which Iran intends to launch mid-spring, the Rasad and Zafar satellites will be used for remote sensing missions, and the Fajr satellite, which is a reconnaissance satellite powered by solar energy.
خصوصیتی که این ماهواره داره و نسبت به ماهواره‌های دیگر اینه که این ماهواره مجهز به یک سیستم پروپالشن، سیستم پیشران خواهد بود که ماهواره رو قادر خواهد کرد که مدار خودش رو ارتقا بده.
Iran's lofty space plans also include putting a man in orbit within 10 years. It's aiming high and wants to compete with the few elite in the space race. It does not see why, in the future, it should not be competing with the big guns, Russia, China and the United States. The projects, though, are lengthy, taking anything from 5 to 20 years. So why does Iran invest in such an elite, highly advanced and expensive field?
این فناوری در افزایش کیفیت و رفاه زندگی مردم داره که میتونه ارتقا بده کیفیت زندگی مردم رو. دو، تأثیری که سرریز این فناوری در چرخش و گردش سایر حوزه های صنعت توی کشور میتونه داشته باشه، این تأثیر زیادی داره. و مطلب سوم اینه که در افزایش و ارتقای امنیت و قدرت بازدارندگی کشور جز فناوری های مهم و مؤثر هستش حوزه هوافضا.
Iran has really had three phases in its 80-year aerospace history. The first dates back before the Islamic Revolution, when it was using Western products and techniques. In the second period, during the Iran-Iraq War, because of sanctions, it had to copy Western technology. In the third phase, currently, that started a decade ago, Iran started localizing and expanding aerospace technology. On Wednesday, 3rd of February 2010, Iran announced it had successfully launched a 10-foot-long research rocket into space. Kavoshkar, or Explorer 3, was the third in a series bearing the same name. Iran is only the ninth country in the world to send a domestically made telecom satellite into orbit. In the future, there'll be the fourth phase, where Iran says it will use this array of aerospace techniques and equipment actively. That's Asghar Ibrahimi, managing director of Iran's Space Industries Group, talking at an expert panel made up of Iran's top aerospace scientists and engineers. Things are moving fast, especially when Iran is doing it for itself. And for Iranian scholars who are working abroad, like Dr. Reza Imami, head of the Aerospace Institute at the University of Toronto, the visible progress they can see at home simply blows them away.
In a word, I have to say that it is incredible in terms of the acceleration that I feel here. Compared to when I left the country 20 years ago, of course, but even comparing with the trend that I see in other countries.
International reports show that Iran is 14th in the world's ranking in nanotechnology. That in itself may sound impressive. What's more important is the speed of progress. The country is up 10 places in just 2 years. Nanotechnology is the science and technology of building electronic devices from single atoms and molecules. Iran has several nanotechnology patents. One of the latest is to do with one of the biggest problems in Iran's big cities, air pollution.
نتیجه 6 سال کار و در واقع بر اساس فناوری نانو و ساختارهای نانولوله‌های کربنی موفق شدیم فیلتری رو ابداع کنیم که میتواند کل آلاینده‌های هیدروکربنی رو جذب سطحی و جذب شیمیایی و تجزیه کنه و اونها رو بازیافت کنه و به اکسیژن و کربن اکتیو تبدیل کنه. یعنی در واقع ضمن کنترل و کاهش آلودگی هوا، دو عامل مفید به نام اکسیژن و کربن اکتیو هم از آلاینده ها ساخته میشه که کربن اکتیو ماده اولیه در زمینه صنایع رنگسازی، تونر پرینتر و صنایع لاستیک سازی هستش.
Not only is the technology all homegrown, but in many cases so is the equipment used to make it. Faced with obstacles and sanctions, Iranian nanotechnology experts have often made everything they need from scratch, all Iranian.
سعی می‌کردیم که خودمون در واقع خودکفا باشیم در این خصوص. خب به حال ما به ابزار و ماشین آلاتی برای ساخت قشاهای نانوییمون احتیاج داشتیم که بخشی از این ماشین آلات در واقع در خارج از کشور در واقع اینها تولید می‌شد و ما این زمینه‌ساز شد که تحریم‌ها نه تنها نتونست در واقع جلوگیری از کار علمی ما کنه، حتی ما تونست در خصوص خود ماشین‌آلات و دستگاه‌هایی که برای ساخت نانوتیوب‌هامون نیاز داشتیم نوآوری‌هایی رو هم خودمون داشته باشیم.
On February the 10th, 2011, Iran announced it has developed a nuclear fusion reactor, becoming the sixth country in the world to possess fusion technology. The US, Japan, South Korea, Australia and France are the only other countries which boast the capability. April 8th is celebrated as National Nuclear Technology Day in the country after President Ahmadinejad in 2006 broke the news that the first batch of low-enriched uranium had been produced at the Natanz nuclear facility. Since then, the country has gone forward leaps and bounds in this most controversial aspect of its scientific advancement. Iran now controls the entire cycle for producing nuclear fuel, and the Bashir nuclear power plant is operational.
ما سعی کردیم که روی پای خودمون بایستیم و اتفاقا همین این فشارهایی که بر ما میاد سبب میشه که ما یه مقدار جریتر بشیم و مقدار بیشتر کار بکنیم. ما شرقی ها یا بهتر بگیم ما ایرونی ها هستیم، وقتی تحت فشار هستیم بهتر کار میکنیم، یعنی اون درون خودمون رو بیشتر نشون میدیم. تا زمانی که راحت هستیم و همه چی برامون میاد.
The West says Iran wants the bomb. Iran denies this and says their enmity towards Tehran has nothing to do with the bomb at all.
اونایی که با ما دشمنی میکنند خودشون هم میدونند. دشمنیشون با سلاح و موشک و بمب ما نیست. از این نه میترسند نه نگرانند. چطور میشه یک دولتی که خودش اقرار میکنه 5700 بمب اتم نسل پنجم و چهارم داره از یه بمب احتمالی که قراره چند سال دیگه در ایران ساخته بشه اونم نسل اول اینجوری که اونا ادعا میکنه که ادعای دروغیست، چطور میشه بترسه؟ اونا از این نمیترسه.
Of course, it's not just these six fields. Iranian technological advancements span everything from the high-tech medical aspects you've been hearing of to even computer games. Of course, all of this development has been going on while UN, US and EU sanctions are in play. They aim to cripple the country's economy to stop Iran pursuing nuclear technology. The sanctions, though, don't just cover nuclear but go right across the board. So have these sanctions that don't just aim at the nuclear arm of Iran's sciences
تحریم ها قطعا اثر داشته بر روی کند کردن کارهای ما، چرا که ما بسیاری از فعالیت همون مشترک بوده با شرکت های خارجی و دانشگاه های خارجی و مؤسسات تحقیقاتی خارجی. طبیعتا وقتی تحریم انجام گرفته اونها دیگه نمیتوانستن مثل گذشته با ما همکاری بکنن و محدودیتی که از طرف دولت هاشون بهشون ابلاغ میشده اثر میذاشته روی همکاری هاشون و این باعث میشد که ما کارهایی که با قرارداد قبلی شروع کرده بودیم با کندی مواجه بشه یا متوقف بشه. این اثر منفی بوده که داشته، نمیشه کتمان کرد.
همیشه ما رو از این لولوی تحریم ها ترسوندن و طی این سال ها برای ما میبینید که در فرایند پیشرفت ما اثری نداشته، بلکه ما رو به این باور و به این اعتقاد رسونده که برای اینکه تحریم ها مؤثر واقع نشه ما باید رو پا خودمون بایستیم، نیازهامون رو خودمون تأمین بکنیم و این شاید در واقع عاملی بوده برای سرعت گرفتن ما در رفع نیازهامون.
Although there are differing views on the extent that sanctions have slowed the country down, the conclusion is always the same. Everyone, including Mir Salim and Sultan Khah, agree that sanctions have, in the end, been an opportunity for the country, paving the way for an independent, self-sufficient scientific community and industry, however long it takes. To think that sanctions can stop Iranians, one scientist says, is to not understand the Iranian psyche.
Those who kind of devise these techniques or mechanisms to push back Iranians perhaps don't realize the Iranian culture, which is mostly formed under the pressure and under the influence of some people who actually attempted to either destroy or to fight with such culture. So this culture is quite a resilient one, and therefore it has turned into this sort of pressures and this sort of obstacles have turned into a very strong incentive for Iranians to push things through. And this is not just about the technology or technological advances, but in all other aspects of the society.
Iran's scientific advancement has sometimes been a long marathon and sometimes a fast sprint. It's often been a hurdle race because of the obstacles put in its way, like economic sanctions and political pressure. But that has only fomented Iran's thinking that scientific independence is the only way forward, one that will lead to national pride, regional progress and ability, not only help its own people, but people outside of the country as well.